Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here with us tonight on latalkradio.com with Empowered Communications, Dr. Pat Allen. Are you ready to get in the hot seat and talk to Dr. Allen? The number's 323-203-0815, and we are live on the air. Dr. Allen, your first caller is here with us. Caller, you're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Thank you. Yes, I do. Hello, Dr. Allen and Kelly.
Hello there.
Hi. A man has been dating me for 2 weeks.
Good.
Thank you. I was invited to an event and have one extra ticket. And my desire is for him to escort me. So
yes.
Will you help me with this?
Would I help you do what? You've already encapsulated it.
Help me ask him.
Ask him. Okay.
Yes.
Well, first of all, you used the key word, escort. To escort you is to serve you. That's manly. You see?
Okay.
So do you have a planned date coming up with him?
He will see me tomorrow at the gym.
Okay. Will he approach you? Is that how he operates?
Yes, he will approach me.
Okay. Then what you would say is one of the tools, which is, I have a request to make of you. If you're willing, are you willing to hear what it is? In other words, tell test two, make an appointment for a request. I'll be you, you be him. So I've just asked
okay.
you. I have a request
yes.
to make of you. Would you be willing to hear what it is?
Yes.
Is now convenient or when would it be?
Now is convenient.
Okay. I have had the occasion of being given some tickets to a theater show? What kind of show?
It's a restaurant event.
Oh, it's a restaurant event.
It's a tasting.
And you have one for you. Are you taking any other people?
No, I was invited.
You just got one ticket.
People. Yes.
Okay. I was given a ticket to the blank blank restaurant for, is it a dinner or dinner show? What is it?
It's a preview tasting of a restaurant that's going to open.
Okay, so that sounds delicious. That sounds wonderful. To a newly opening restaurant, and I'm curious and interested in knowing if you would be willing to escort me to this event.
Okay.
What would he say?
It depends on if he's available because it is during the workday. It's in the middle of the afternoon. But I feel comfortable that he will like that I asked him.
That's good. That's good. Did I give you? Now you do it. I am now him.
Okay.
And you are you.
Okay. Hey.
So go.
Okay. Hey,
Mr. X.
What?
Are we going to use his first name or not?
No, I'm not going to.
Okay, then he's Mr. X.
Hi, Mr. X. I want to ask a request of you. When is convenient?
Well, now what you did there was you went from the subject straight to the contract.
Oh.
What I did when I demonstrated it, I said, I have a request to make of you. I've been given this ticket for this restaurant. I did a commercial for the place.
Right. Okay.
So take two.
Okay. Hi, Mr. X. I have a request to make of you. I have an extra ticket for an event at a local restaurant. When is it convenient for you to listen?
Now, you didn't give the details. Oh. It's an opening restaurant, okay. And they're doing, we want to stimulate his palate.
Right. Okay. So, and then I still ask the question, when is it convenient at the end?
Would it be convenient for you to hear it now? Remember?
Would it be? Okay.
Or when?
So, hi, Miss. Okay.
Go ahead. Take
hi,
three.
Yes. Hi, Mr. X. I have a request to make of you for an event. I have one extra ticket at a restaurant for a preview tasting. When is it convenient for you to listen?
Now would be fine. What is it?
I want to ask you to escort me to the restaurant event at blank blank on such and such day and time. Is this convenient for you?
I'll look at my calendar and let you know.
Okay.
So do you see, you use the pivotal words.
Yes, I understand.
See, technically in Pat Allen terms, you're being the man, but you're being
right.
The man in a woman's style.
Okay. Understand. I've one follow-up question.
What?
He's been dating me for 2 weeks, and he's my number one man right now.
But are you dating two more? Are you dating two more?
Yes.
Because, you know, if you date one man alone, you'll bond to him just by the repetition. So I always recommend three men that you've attracted by flirting that you don't prematurely start planning your wedding at the end of the first date.
Okay, understand.
All right.
Okay.
So what's your question about the dating?
Is it in good timing for me to ask him to escort me since he's been dating me for 2 weeks? Is that okay?
Escorting, chasing him is not okay because you want to be cherished, do you?
Cherished, yes.
Okay. But the word escort, which is a classic word, and it means he's serving you. It's your date. But he's serving you. And because I'm 86 years old, I remember when we did cotillions, which was having boys and girls in their teens go to dances to learn how to be social.
Okay.
You see? So,
yes,
I've had no problems. But if you don't use the word escort me, you're chasing him.
Okay, I'll make sure to use that word and I'll listen to the show before I ask.
And the reason we talked about the food is that men like women for sensuous and sexual pleasure.
Right.
We like men for money and stature.
Yes, that's true.
Unless we want to be men, then we can chase them, but we're men.
Okay.
And they can they can say, why haven't you called me? Why do I have to call you all the time? And that's because in today's world, where men are starting to want to be females, cherished, they're becoming unskilled at being men.
Okay.
And men and women are developing hobbies and habits of masculine socializing.
Oh, sure, understand.
You see?
This man is very masculine. He knows the Dr. Allen way without knowing you. So I'm impressed and feel good.
Okay. So have we
okay.
Have we autopsied that technique?
Yes, that's everything.
Thank you. Call
Thank
again.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Paula. Excellent. I love that tool, that talking about the escorting thing.
Yes, and the word cotillion, I don't think it's used anymore on the planet.
I don't either, and I think it's sad that it isn't. I think it's a great thing.
Hi, it's a great experience, and it's a great thing, yes.
Do you have a question? Hello, caller.
Hello. Hello. Hi.
Hi, you have a question?
I do. Is this Pat?
I'm talking. This is Pat right here.
Okay. I didn't hear any of the pre-caller stuff, so just making sure that it was actually you. So I'm a long-term fan. I go all the way back to the Ramada Inn with you. And,
oh, my God, have my God.
Have done a couple of your all-day events. And you said something to me at one of those events, and it's brought up a question. So I have actually been in three relationships while in another country, and I just seem to have better luck with women from foreign countries. And so at one of your all-day events, there was a point, you know, right at the beginning of one of your breaks where me and this other woman were, you know, they're talking with you. And there was a point at which the three of us were done talking, but you were still there kind of gathering your things. And there was something where something she had said where I started to give her some advice. And you said, I think this is a quote, "You're never going to get laid giving advice all the time." And so my question
now, are you a man or a woman? Your voice belies you.
I'm a man.
Okay, that's what I thought. But then I think, no, that might be a woman. Okay.
Yeah, no. So
yeah,
I'm a guy.
Well, that sounds like me. So what did I say and what did you say?
Well, I just took that advice to heart. That is a challenge I have in my life in general, is probably giving too much advice.
Well,
you know, just
you
kind of
taken,
in general.
Have you ever taken the Myers-Briggs temperament test?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Do you know, and, do you remember what your one of 16 types? What are your initials?
My vague recollection is ESTJ.
Okay, extroverted. There's an ES.
Social.
Social, yeah. EST, teaching, J. That's a lot of maleness in your temperament.
Okay.
However, it sounds like when you taught a woman, that you taught her as if she had hired you. Did you make an appointment with her? Did you say something like, you know what, I've been listening to you and I have an idea I want to share with you. Do you want to hear it?
It probably was definitely not presented that way. It was probably, I just started giving the advice.
Now, that's why I insulted you by saying you're never going to get laid, because if the woman is feminine, she's masculine, she'll be a man and you'll be a man and some therapist will make a buck. But you being a man with a woman who's a woman was insensitive without flagging her that you wanted permission to be a man with her.
Got it. So here, here's kind
of... How many years ago was that? And have you gotten laid? Pardon me, question. Are you in a relationship?
I'm not in one at the moment, no. But I've been in a, you know, I've been in a few significant ones since that point in time.
You have, did you get the message of women that are feminine like to receive and be available to receive and respect the people that want to give, protect, and cherish them? Do you want to take, would you be willing, what?
I absolutely get that concept, and it's usually in the back of my head. I do have a challenge with practicing it all the time. So that is something I am still ongoingly working on, taking your advice and taking your teachings and applying it to my life.
Now, would you please raise your right hands, and I'll give you your masculine
I've done this dozens and dozens of times, but I'll be happy
okay.
to do it again.
Well, we're doing
it with
the audience now. I promise.
Oh, got it. I promise.
To give, protect, and cherish.
To give, protect, and cherish.
The women connected
to.
Even when.
Even when.
They're illogical.
They're illogical.
Irrational.
Irrational.
And can be irritating.
And can be irritating.
Now, what you're doing there is you're acting polite when you're teaching and preaching and basically, you see?
Got it.
Doormat woman will fall under your trap and stay there. A masculine woman will duke you out. But a combination woman may really be able to be feminine with you if you use the tools. Are you aware of the tools?
Yes, and I actually am pretty good about doing crosstalk. So,
oh, good.
So that's
something
I've learned from you, and I do very readily practice that. Ongoing,
which is, I think, how do you feel? How can I help us feel better? What do you feel?
Right.
You know, you do. Remember, equality in communication is competitive. I need a drink. Complementarity enhances intimacy. I think I want, I feel, I don't want is a moneymaker for a therapist. I think, how do you feel? I feel, what do you think? Is romantic and intimate.
Got it.
Good.
So here's where I'm leading to as far as the main question for calling you. So
what's
there's
that?
A pretty good chance that I will go overseas again and, you know, try and meet somebody over there. So I actually
had a wife. Where do you go? What is the country?
Well, I was married to a Filipino woman I met there in the Philippines.
Oh, they're absolutely wonderful. Filipino women are so androgynous.
Okay, I have a phone acting up. So we were married for 8 years. We have one child, The last two overseas relationships were in Thailand.
Ireland?
Thailand.
Ireland.
Oh,
Iceland?
No.
Spell it again.
Thailand.
Oh,
Thailand.
Yes.
Help me, Kelly.
Thailand.
You know, I didn't hear that either.
Necktie, Thailand.
Oh, Thailand. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Yeah. So.
So I actually seem to do better with, you know, women from a Buddhist culture than a Christian culture.
Yes, so. Yes. Remember, sexuality, compatibility, and good communication are necessary. So politics can cause a problem. Religions can cause a problem. But that's compatibility.
Okay. So my question about, like, you
what's
know,
your
coaching
question?
Within a relationship is one of the things that I did was after the tsunami, I actually went to Thailand. Went there to actually work with orphan kids, but ended up finding out there was a much greater need for working with crippled children, because in their Buddhist culture, if you're born crippled, you did something in a previous life to deserve it. So they don't build special bathrooms and special ramps and elevators and things like that. So It's actually, like, remarkable how little there is. In the school that I taught at, the teacher who was just as qualified as teachers that, you know, I taught English at, you know, one of the premier high schools, but she literally made, like, a fourth the income of, you know, somebody just as qualified that wasn't in a wheelchair. And so... That's kind of like how they're...
Oh, my God, my God.
Yeah. And so, you know, so one of the things I've wanted to do is go back there and do that. So one of the things I've been doing is, like, making a list and saving lists of a lot of the slang American terms that we use, because what I've kind of discovered after teaching over there was just how much of our daily conversation is the slang, and how foreigners miss all the slang things because they haven't been taught that. So I've been making this list. And so what my question is should I work at teaching, you know, a new person that I, you know, very well might bring back to the United States, work on personally teaching her English and polishing her English, or would that be just kind of unsexy to do that?
Not if you've already formed a committed relationship. Have you read Conversational Rape?
I actually haven't. Obviously, I've heard about it dozens of times.
Conversational Rape is the first book I wrote after my doctoral dissertation was accepted, and it's a book about my language. You understand, there's only three ways to communicate: intimidate with fear, seduce with guilt and shame, and negotiate with love.
Got it.
And I'm working right now with Andy Shea, and we're doing a textbook on the languaging of my work. But conversational rape literally teaches it. And why wouldn't you find somebody that wants to be with you, and you want to assist them with their language so that you communicate better?
Okay.
Just
it seems logical, but at the same time, you know. I wasn't sure that that just wouldn't show up and, you know, be unsexy and unappealing to do that. So you're the expert. That's why I'm asking you the question.
No, I'm saying you're together because you're chemically attracted. Otherwise, you wouldn't be together.
Right. Got it. Okay.
Okay.
Now, are you doing any live events at all anymore?
Am I doing what?
Any live events anymore? Or are you just doing this radio show?
I'm for hire. People, this radio show brings me business from all over the world. I am carrying the message farther now than I ever have in my life. And I love it.
And if you have an inquiry, you can reach out via email to info@drpatallen.com.
Okay. So how many years ago was it that I want to do a little commercial here for you? How long ago were you at the holiday, the Ramada Inn? How many years back was that?
I've been in this business for 49 years, and I think the Ramada Inn was one of the beginners.
Okay. So basically, I've been following you for a long time and, you know, have been just, you know, dozens of seminars at the LA location that you went to after the Ramada, and then, you know, dozens of them out in Orange County at the community center there. And I have very frequently got a number, went up, asked you questions. And so this is to the listening audience. I have never once asked Pat for advice that when I took her advice, which is 100% of the time, I didn't get the exact result she said I'd get. And so I've just always found you just so impressive, and just so right on the money. So thank you.
Thank you for saying that. And I take pride in being accurate as best I can because I don't want to mislead people. Remember, beware of your thoughts, for they become words. Beware of your words, they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character. Beware of your character, it becomes your destiny. At the bank making money, at the doctor's office being healthy, and in every relationship, especially the loving sexual ones. How do you like that? That's an Upanishad from India.
Thank you for sharing that again, because I've heard that a bunch of times, but that kind of what, you know, has gone away from my thought pattern when I think about stuff that I've learned from you in the past. So that actually is an important one.
It's a major one for me. And my new book, the last new book, it's A Man's World and a Woman's Universe, covers the issue of the East and the West and their debate, and goes into depth about the tools for I-ness, we-ness, and us-ness. So I'm going to write books and carry on for the rest of my life, whether it's 5 minutes or 25 years.
Okay. Well, I'm all right. Certainly hoping it's the latter.
So follow me.
All right. I shall do that. Thank you so much, Dr. Pat.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you, Carla. Well, Dr. Allen, that was a lovely thing to say from a longtime follower, listener, learner.
I have so many people that have heard me on this radio show that are from 30, 40 years ago.
I know, it's so exciting. I love it. Hey, we got another caller. Caller, you're live with us. Dr. Allen's here. Do you have a question?
Hi, I do. Yes. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hi, hi, hi. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I have a question. My boyfriend and I have been in a monogamous relationship for a little over a month now. And
that's one third of the first 3 months. The first three months, I call the perfect because everybody's struggling to do it right. The second 3 months are imperfect. That's when your human foils start coming out. The third 3 months are when you negotiate. Would you please raise your right hand?
Yes.
I promise.
I promise.
On my honor.
On my honor.
Never.
Never.
Will I commit to a finite, fallible human being?
Will I commit to a finite, soluble human being?
Instead.
Instead.
I'll commit to the relationship.
I'll commit to the relationship.
With a finite, fallible human being.
With a finite, soluble human being.
I'll do my best part.
I'll do my best part.
And I hope they do theirs.
And I hope that they do theirs.
So nobody's worth marrying. You've got to want to be married good enough to listen to shows like this and read books so that you can communicate, because that's how you get along. So what are you asking of me today?
So everything will go well for 2 or 3 days. And then I feel like he self-sabotages. He'll all of a sudden, like I'll walk into his house, he'll invite me over and I'll come into his house and he'll be kind of in a bad mood. And then he'll sort of spiral into this thing of how he isn't sure if he believes in relationships. In marriage, he's not sure if he believes in marriage. He doesn't understand why people get married. It's a social construct.
He goes negative.
So negative. And
it may very easily be that he has a taste for pain. Have you ever heard me talk about norepinephrine?
Yes. And that's why, yes. And I think he does.
So what he's doing is what he was taught under the age of 3. If you have too much pain in your family or school or wherever you're at, orphanage, if you live in too much pain, you become a negative norepinephrine, which is a neurotransmitter, serotonin, norepinephrine, and dopamine. If you become too acclimated to pain, you become afraid of pleasure, dopamine, because you're not worthy of it. So you sabotage.
Yes.
You do things. And in that case, do you know my tools?
Yes. Yeah. And I've tried them on him and I either seem to be messing it up or so I wanted to know how I could do it better because I'm struggling.
Do you know the fifth tool that is the timeout tool? You make a signal with your hand?
No.
Well, it's the fifth tool and it doesn't require words because that starts a war. Fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, what are you doing? I'm signaling you a timeout because what you're saying and what you're doing is turning me off. Do you want to hear what would turn me on? See what I mean? There's that permission.
Mm-hmm.
So I suspicion, and there's a book, A Taste for Pain by Maria Marcos.
Okay.
It's a corporate, I think she used bookstore because it can be expensive if you order it new. So
okay.
Go find it. But it's about, it doesn't talk about norepinephrine. It talks about being committed to pain because you're not worthy of pleasure from your childhood.
Yeah.
Those first 3 years of life are so important.
Mm-hmm.
So are you willing to say, you have a right to say that like that, but it's really painful to hear, or something like that. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, so I guess I said that to him where you have every right to say those things, but it makes me feel like it hurts my feelings. It makes me feel confused. And
well,
then he'll say back
to truth. So what does he do when you do that?
So then he tells me that I don't have a healthy relationship with my feelings because he's not making me feel anything, that it's like my fault for feeling bad about it, that he's just sharing with me.
I understand that. So you say to him, you have every right to believe that, but I like to feel good, and I will absolutely accept you on this, you know, painful level, but I don't know how long I can do it.
Okay.
See, you want to be cherished by him, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, and you dated him for how long?
We've only been dating a little over a month.
Would you be willing to date him using the tools for two more months?
Yes, yeah.
Because what that is if you, and you do it respectfully.
Mm-hmm.
That what you do is, first of all, make him right. You have a right to say that I should make peace with my pain. I just really, whatever pain I can avoid, I want to avoid it.
Right.
And you have every right to make peace with pain.
Right.
But I don't know if I can be comfortable feeling safe with you.
Right.
So I think he's been wired for pain.
Yes. I'm just writing this down. He definitely is. It's just like he can't, anytime he has fun, I like see it in his body. He like tenses up. And it's challenging for me because I'm very happy and easygoing and I love to have fun. And he can do it, but then he just will revert back.
He puts you down for
sharing
with him your pain. Are you willing to do it for a month? How about just the month of September?
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah,
you know what the BROKA is?
Yeah.
You've heard me talk about the BROKA?
Mm-hmm.
It's in the left hemisphere of the brain. It's an organ that is called the organ of language. Because when you're 0 to 3 years old, you're in an implicit school of experience. You don't learn to speak. You learn to feel. Your mommy mm-hmm. and daddy show you when they're angry. Their body tells you. When you're 3 years old, you go to not the implicit school of life. You go to the explicit. Don't you talk to me that way, young man. That's right. Where people, teachers, churches, politicians tell you what you can think and feel. And so there's a war that goes on inside of you, and you've wired your broca. My work, Androgynous Semantics and Tactical Realignment, that work is to rewire the broca so that you can negotiate with love, not seduce with guilt and shame or the pain of fear. Do you see?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, and if you want to, if you can ever see the book, A Taste for Pain just makes a statement about what I'm saying here.
Is there, if he were to go to therapy, what kind of therapy would you recommend for it?
Me?
Okay. Okay.
Would you be willing to have him just like a half an hour? You can book me for 15 minutes, half an hour. I will teach you my five tools.
Okay. Yeah, because he always like ends up then apologizing and telling me that he's just scared and he...
Do you hear what he's saying, this poor human being?
I know.
His
broca
is wired for pain. Do you know how frightened he is when he has a good time?
Yeah.
It scares him because he knows somebody's going to take it away. Now, it was his mom and dad, and they did it with scowls on their face or threatening hands in the air. Do you see?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really, you know, those first 3 years were really what they're doing is they're fighting with words. I say, can you please learn my stuff? Stay together for at least 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when he does tell me, like, so then sometimes he'll say that, like, he gets frustrated because, like, I'm just trying to, like, share and, like, open up to you, and that's how, like, I build trust. And he thinks by me saying that, like, I want to feel happy and good, it, like, it's negating what he's going through.
That he wants you to go through what he wants you to be in pain.
Well, just be, like, when he talks to me about it and I say, like, you have every right to think that, but it does make me feel, like, sad and confused. And he'll say, well, you know, in his mind, he's, like, sharing his thoughts with me, and that's how he is building, like, trust with me by sharing.
I fully understand that, but I run under the belief system that there is a God, and he wishes us joy.
Yeah,
I don't
same.
Like religions that, you know, like what the lady was saying in the last communication, if you've got a wounded body when you're born, you've done something to deserve it, karma. Do you see what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So what he's sharing with you is get used to it. Life is miserable. Life is painful. Well, I don't buy that.
Yeah,
life is
same.
Life, but you can learn how to negotiate within your brain so that you can figure out, you know, the way out of every negative feeling, every one of them, is a positive decision. What is it I want that I don't have? And what is it I have that I don't want? And which of Pat Allen's tools can I use to change my life?
Right.
Do you see that?
Yeah.
You know what's
yeah.
really interesting? As I was doing my doctoral work, and now I'm finding that they're getting the scientific production. I have a magazine that I get called Science, and they did an article on language which gave the scientific background of what I now realize is how my work works. You see what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
When I go to huge, I'm a marriage family child therapist. When I go to a congress, you know, for hours and my law and stuff, I watch, and I have still, unless I'm getting the lecture, nobody pays attention to the words. They pay attention
right.
to the feelings. They pay attention to the, you know, intimidation, but they don't realize that the quantum mechanics of words are used by humans to carry the quantum mechanics of energy between humans.
Right.
Right now in America, we are having problems with the president's form of communication.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's intimidating, it's guiltifying, you see?
Right.
It doesn't negotiate.
Right.
So, there. So, I want you to know that I've just given you a lecture on you may be with somebody who, in his first 3 years, was so wired for pain that you now have a man that has a taste for pain. Because it's normal for him. Hey, don't you know that pain is normal?
Right.
And pleasure is not normal. It's temporary, and somebody's going to take it away.
Yeah, it's so sad.
I know that, but I've got 5 tools that you could use.
Okay.
I want to run by the 5 tools. Can I do that?
Yeah, that would be, yeah, I love that.
Tool number one, you want to be cherished, right? So you are going to respect your men.
Mm-hmm.
Never ask them what they feel unless they puke and bleed.
Right.
Then you can bring chicken soup and take care of them and do whatever. When people want to be respected, ask them what they think, what they want, their opinion, their suggestions, and what you can do to help you and he do better.
Right.
That's tool number one. Tool number two, when you want to teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question him, you have to make an appointment for the subject, and you have to make the appointment convenient to his lifestyle. Would it be convenient for you to listen to my thoughts and feelings about what you said in front of people last night at dinner? Do you see what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
And would it be convenient sometime today for you to listen to what I have to say? So the second tool is, please make an appointment to teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question.
Okay.
The third tool is, he's done something irritating, but it isn't. You don't have to call the cops, a doctor, or a lawyer. It's not immoral, unethical, or illegal, but it's irritating. You know what you say to him? You have every right to say that, think that, feel that, do that. But it's uncomfortable for me to listen to it. What do you think about making an appointment before you teach, preach, bitch, moan, or question me? What do you think about that? You see what
I'm saying?
Yeah. That is good. That's the third tool.
Okay.
The fourth tool, do you know that 90% of all communication is body language, tones of voice, rolled eyes, preaching, giving a signal, body language. But you can't negotiate with it. You can't negotiate with rolling eyes. Everybody knows what they mean. What are you talking about, you stupid idiot?
Right.
We know what it means. We just have no words to use. Here's what you use for the fourth tool. I sense by the look on your face you're upset about something, honey. Am I right? Are you upset? I don't know.
Right.
Oh, you have a right not to give me a yes or a no, but a non-answer is a negative answer. What can I do to help you and I do better, dear? Got that?
Right. Yeah.
I sense, yeah. I think, I believe. Isn't that a good one?
Mm-hmm. I love that one.
I love that one, too. Now, do you realize that for 50 years, these tools have been paying all of my bills?
There's a reason for it. They work. Yeah.
Yeah, it works. People are so amazed how quickly it works. A person goes from intimidating, seductive, shame, guilt, to negotiating with love. After one session. Yeah. One session.
I just started getting into your work. I read Getting to I Do, and I'm working through the Man's World, Woman's Universe.
Isn't that
and
good?
It's so good. And even I've just gotten into you a couple months now, and it's made me feel so empowered that there's options of how to communicate with people versus just like a total.
Oh, I love you. I love you. I'll pay you right after the show.
But it's so true. I'm so excited to get further into this because it gives you so many options to properly
fight.
Get what you want to say
fight.
Out. Yeah.
Fight.
Yeah.
You don't have to use my five tools when you're getting along. But once you see those eyeballs roll, switch to the tools.
Yeah.
The fifth tool. Do you know what the fifth tool is? Do you remember that? The fifth
remind
tool,
me.
It's a timeout. You know how when you go to a basketball game, the referee does a timeout with his hands?
Right.
If you're afraid to talk to your person, you're afraid they're going to be mad, they're going to be upset, give them a signal with your hands. Time out. Or if you're on the phone, time out. What are you saying? What do you want? I'm signaling you that I'm uncomfortable with something you said or something you did. Are you interested in what it is and maybe hopefully helping me teach you how to talk to me? So that
yeah,
one is
right.
Time out.
Okay.
So there. So we put it on. We put good. Boy, I've enjoyed this.
This is so helpful. I can't wait to try it out because it's been frustrating for sure. So I'm excited to use these.
Has it given you something to do with the person that was wounded under the age of 3 and whose broken is wired to fight? Intimidate, seduce with guilt and shame, but not negotiate. He thinks his way is the right way. It's the right way if you have somebody that likes it that way. If he finds a woman that likes to fight, he's got it made. You ever watch people loving to fight?
Ugh. Yeah, and that's what he's typically dated women. He's told me that are like very negative and depressed and angry and that I scare him because I'm always in a good mood and I always want to feel good. And
do you realize he thinks you're crazy for being happy?
Yeah, I can see it on his face.
I know that, dear.
Yeah.
Okay. I sense, honey, that you're upset about something I'm doing. Am I too happy for you today?
Yeah, I'll come into his house and be so like full of energy and so happy to see him. And it's just like walking into a just, it's so negative, and it, it's really darn it. Yeah.
There's a wonderful book by Scott Wetzler. It's called Living with a Passive Aggressive Man. Passive-aggressive man doesn't allow you to teach him anything. He may say, yes, I'll learn, but he won't use it.
Right.
He's terrified of pleasure. So Living with a Passive-Aggressive Man is a book about passive-aggressive people who basically live on pain. But you know what? They produce so much cortisol, a little cortisol goes a long way, that they die of the stress that the cortisol creates. Do you know that the cortisol ruins your T cells, which block your illnesses, strips your nerves of myelin sheathing, coating? You see that?
Right.
And
yeah.
Sets you up for pain. And you die earlier. When
yeah.
I was 35, I weighed 205 pounds. I had Al-Anon on. So they loved fighting. The priest would come to our house and bless us every week after my dad would drink and my mother would do her thing. But I weighed 205 pounds. At 35, my blood pressure was 250/148.
Wow.
Nose projecting, blood.
Wow.
I weighed 117. I've been nothing. My blood pressure is like 130/90. I am healthier at 86 than I was at 35.
Yeah, it's so inspiring.
You're not kidding.
Yeah. It really
you know
is.
What my goal is. My goal was 86, but I'm going to be 86 this month, so I'm not dying. So I upped my ante to 100.
Okay. That's good.
So, why not?
So I have 14 more years to call in.
That's exactly right. Thank you so much, dear.
Thank you. This was such a helpful talk. I really appreciate it.
I did too.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Bye. Good luck. Thank you. Have a good night.
We hope you update us. I love it when you get an update on someone who is using your tools and they have a fantastic success. And it's funny, I just got a message today from somebody who said, this person is doing this to me. And I said, oh, they're intimidating and then seducing, not negotiating. Hi, caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. You have a question.
Yes, I do. Dr. Allen, I'm having fun duty day. So you're not. Hi. I've got a question about the ritual stroke because Father's Day is coming up. Can you please explain that at all?
Which tool?
Ritual stroke.
Which tool? Did you say something? Did you ask me to explain a tool?
Ritual stroke,
well,
Dr. Allen. Ritual stroke.
Wait, Kelly, what is she saying?
She would like you to explain the ritual stroke. Caller, could you speak up just a little bit?
What ritual?
Well, it's Father's Day on Friday, on Sunday here, and I want to be able to send a message to someone.
Oh, I see. What country are you in?
Australia.
Oh, right now?
Yes.
Okay. And you want to give strokes? My tools are for fighting. Did you want to fight with him?
I want to send a message to someone who I'm duty dating.
That you're duty dating?
Yeah, she wants to send a ritual ritual stroke.
I don't know what a ritual stroke is.
You know, like when you send somebody a happy birthday message.
Oh, one of those. A ritual stroke card, or you're going to write it? Is this the lady I'm talking to?
Yes, text message.
A text message. Okay, I'm getting the picture now. All right, you want to send him something that will make him feel good?
Yes, staying in touch.
Oh, you want to signal him to reach out to you?
Yeah.
Are you talking about a where did you go tool?
Kind of.
Well, that's what it sounds like.
Yes.
See, I use ritual strokes. I tell people, women especially, that they can send ritual strokes without thinking they're dating. You know, happy 4th of July, happy Thanksgiving, happy birthday.
Yes.
Those are what I call ritual strokes. But you're asking for something that's, you want to signal him that you like him?
Yes.
Does he know it? Have you dated him?
We've just had a phone call.
What? Just a phone call?
Yes.
Okay. But you want him to call you more often?
I beg your pardon?
You want him to call more often?
No, we've just had one phone call. It's early days. I just want to send a nice message now.
Okay. So have you got anything planned that I can critique?
No, it's just Father's Day on Sunday.
Oh, it's Father's Day in your culture.
I wanted to say happy Father's Day. Yes.
Okay. How many kids does he have?
How much? What, sorry?
How many children does he have?
Two.
Two. Are they grown or are they little? What is their age bracket?
Grown.
Oh, they're grown up. Oh. Well, the first thing you give him is a stroke for having kids. In other words, it's Father's Day and you have two grown kids. And I want to thank you on behalf of the human race for giving us wonderful. Are they good kids or bad kids?
Good.
Okay. To thank him for being a father and giving us humans two kids that have helped our world love one another.
What?
So what would you write?
I'll just say something like that. That sounds fine.
What?
I'll just write something like that. That sounds fine.
The one I just said?
Yeah.
Lovely. Yeah. The standard one is Happy Father's Day. That's like, you know, cookie cutter.
Boring.
What I said.
Boring.
What I said. What?
That was boring, yes. Cookie cutter.
Yeah, you've asked me to create something, so I want you to represent the human race. Thank you so much for creating your two children to make our world a more loving place. Something like that.
Lovely. Thank you.
All right.
Beautiful. I appreciate it. Thanks very much. Yep.
You're welcome. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you, caller. I love it.
I've never been asked that.
Australia.
What?
Yeah, we have a caller. She was from Australia. What a We reach out all over the place, Dr. Allen. It's so awesome.
I know that.
So hello?
Who we got now?
Oh, hi, caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. I have a question, and I must admit, first of all, that I am terrified to ask him. Oh, okay. So here's the question. So I need to explain it first. So when I, Dr. Allen, when I started working with you, I started because this was about, gosh, I think 3 years ago now. I started to work with you because I was in a very painful relationship with a married man. I wanted to get out. I didn't know how, right? So I got out.
Yes, that's standard.
Pretty standard, yeah. So thanks to you, I work with you. I got out of it. I worked with you one-on-one a few times. I came to California a few times to go through your amazing Saturday classes. And so I, at some point, you know how, you know, women aren't supposed to give anything until we get what we want first. So about, I want to say a year after I stopped talking to the, well, no, he stopped talking to me. The married man, he just basically dismissed me, stopped talking to me. And
he ghosted you?
Pretty much, yeah. He explained it later why. I gave him a call. The wife saw it was a disaster, but he never told me. So for me, it was just after years and years of that, he just disappeared, and it was very, very painful.
I got it.
So a year after that, and about at that point, a year and a half into us working together, I felt that I should send him a bill for the therapy as a way to take care of myself, because I felt like I was wronged. And when this relationship started with him, he was kind of in a position of authority over me. So it was not even. And so I sent him a letter, and I said, look, I appreciate, it was actually a pretty nice letter. I basically said, look, we had a very difficult relationship. The way it ended was incredibly painful for me. I needed to get I had help after it. It was very expensive. Here's the bill. And I was pretty honest about it. I just charged them for what it took me to basically be able to take your classes and, you know, just over the phone therapy. So do you think this was a good thing that I did?
Did he send you the money?
He did, yeah.
I think that's very creative.
You think? I felt really good after that. I'm like, yes, I stood up.
Why would you not?
This is awesome.
Remember what I said?
Oh, so this is...
When you get into a painful feeling, you say to yourself, what do I want that I don't have? Money for the therapy it took to get over you. Or what do I have that I don't want? Which is when you want to get rid of them.
Yeah.
So what you did was, you honestly said, your relationship to me cost me to have to pay somebody to help me be more normal. So I am requesting payment. So he could have said nothing or no or whatever.
He'd be a little
scared. So you asked what you want.
Yeah. Yeah, I think in my letter, I made sure that he understood that if he said no, I wasn't going to do anything. I wasn't going to go to his work and tell him what happened. I wasn't going to do.
I
wasn't
going to
blackmail
him.
No. Yeah. I said, whatever you choose is up to you, but this is what I need and this is why. But you need to understand that there's no threat here, because that could be seen as blackmail. That's felony. I don't want to do that. So...
I don't think you can do that with every man. That man sounded like he heard your feelings and did come up with the money.
He did, yeah. No, and he actually, I realized how important it is to voice out your concerns, because, and it took me a while to write that letter. It took me about a week, because I didn't want to sound angry. I didn't want to sound threatening. I didn't want it to be negative. And the second that I pressed send, I felt like, 100 pounds fell off my shoulders. I'm like, oh my God, I've been carrying around this.
Right?
This is crazy.
Do you know why? Women get what they want when they know what they don't want. I don't want to let him get away with this. At least ask him for compensation. Men get what they want by knowing what they want and going after it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, you know, because I felt it was like, okay, I gave. I got nothing in return, zero, and I got this pain. And now, not only that, but this pain is now literally costing me money so that I can just move on with my life. This isn't right. So for like, and that's when also like Me Too started. I'm like, and that, I think that fueled it as well.
So, I think you did wonderfully and creatively. How are you doing today?
Well, with COVID, it's difficult. I went on a few dates. I'm not dating anyone right now. I have someone who wants, he says he wants to be with me. However, he's still married and he's in a different state. And I used your tools and I said, look, if you were free, I would love to date you. But until you're free, I can't really do anything about this. He still keeps calling me.
You set
I don't
up
even...
your boundaries.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not doing this shit again. There's no way. I'm not stepping into the same shit pile twice. No.
Okay. You took care of yourself.
Yeah. I mean, it's good. Like, I'm definitely, the way that, my boundaries are great. I've lost a few friends over it because I wouldn't put up with their aggressive behavior.
I know that.
It's good. Yeah. No, some girl and I was, again, I used your tools and I said, look, I feel very uncomfortable when you act in this way. Could you please not act, you know, this way with me next time? Like if you have a problem, and that was it. This was months before, you know, months ago. And she stopped talking to me. I'm like, okay, bye-bye. Have a good life.
good.
Yeah, okay. One thing, though. One quick question, though. I think I'm experiencing some sort of dating fatigue because I've gotten a few dates. I didn't like any of them, and it's just, I know I should just keep going. I mean, there's no, like, what am I going to be?
Where are you hunting? I mean, are you hunting in the right place? Do you want to go to
grocery stores? That's where people
grocery
meet now.
Stores?
Yeah.
So you're looking for a chef?
No. I mean, I flirt. Like, I look at people and I flirt. I'm, you know, now we all wear masks. So nobody can see anything. Just eyes. So just look at them.
Yes, I know. But eyes are the windows of the soul. That's all you need is eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, through work, I mean, I'm in a kind of, my work is, I'm self-employed, basically. I'm very flexible. I meet a lot of people. I don't know. It's just
very
strange.
Do you want to be respected or cherished?
Cherished.
Okay. So do you remember not to talk when you flirt?
Yes,
whoever
I don't talk.
First is that use your eyes to flirt. And when you smile, your eyes wrinkle up.
Yeah. I'll just keep doing that.
Okay.
Thank
your
you
flirting.
So much. Will
what?
Do. No, I just said thank you so much because I was afraid with the question, you know, with the payment for therapy question. I thought afterwards, I'm like, oh, did I just want to basically hurt him and like make him pay for what he's done? Which I did, yes, but just to make my life better.
No, he didn't.
Better,
he
not...
picked it up. His intuition. Remember, men run their lives on intuition. They have 21 different genes, their brains when they're conceived that enhance their intuition. We run our lives on our instinct, which is the three major neurotransmitters: dopamine, fun, serotonin, tranquilize, go out in the sun, and norepinephrine, shut you down when you're acting hysterical. So we have to feel good to do good. Men have to do good to feel good. But every man is also a woman, and when he gets to be in his 50s, he needs a much more cherishing than when he was 35. Mm-hmm. And we women, when we go to menopause, when we get into our 50s, we go to masculine and we need to be respected.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so we all get to be both male and female if we live long enough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm a man now.
But you know, but you have with your boyfriend, you're a woman. We've talked about this.
I'm a fake beta. Remember,
fake beta,
alphas are both brains and heart. Betas are mostly heart. But a fake beta fakes heart and brain combination so that you're compatible.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I take beta so well now. Oh, it's amazing.
It's good.
Yeah. I don't even fake. It's like a mode. I just go into a different mode. Because I've read all of your books. I've done all of your classes apart from dream class and addiction class. Well, and couples, obviously, because I wasn't a couple. And they were amazing.
Right.
You can still do them, right? If we find enough people and we find a space, you still do them. Correct?
To do what?
Do you still do your Saturday classes, the day-long classes?
No, I don't. I do a Zoom class for 6 women that you can... Yeah, I'm doing a Zoom class, and if I get my thing out, I'll... One of my students, Bonnie, I won't give her last name, she manages it, and if you want to be on the Zoom class,
I would love to.
It's 1 hour on Saturday, 1 hour from 9 to 10. It's $20, and you book it by calling Bonnie, and her number is... Oh, wait a minute, I got to turn around. Bonnie's number is, let's see, I've got it down. 88, well, this is just, oh, anyway.
I can just call your daughter. She managed the other classes, so I can just email her, right? And she'll give me the number. Because I would love to go.
Okay.
To
yes. All right.
Yes. Yes. Seattle. Reach out to info@drpatallen.com.
Will do. Will do. Kelly, you always recognize me. That is so cool.
I do. You always recognize me. I recognize a lot of our clients. It's from my television background.
Yeah, you are good at that.
Okay.
Glad to hear from you again.
Me too.
Thank you so much. I always listen.
I don't always have questions, but I always listen. Yeah. Thank you guys. Have a great rest of the day.
Okay. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
I loved her. That was very creative. And I think it was probably very validating for her to be able to do that. And for him to respond the way he did, you know, kind of acknowledges that there was that pain. Oh, we've got another caller. Hey, caller, you're live on the air. Dr. Allen, you have a question.
Hi, I do. So a man is dating me, and a little backstory. I was doing our potential relationship a disservice by having intercourse and being a free girlfriend. So I shared that with him while we were apart. We live in different cities. And mentioned I was going to take better care of myself, and I'd gotten back in touch with my boundaries that I'm comfortable with. So
good,
he decided.
Good.
Thank you. So several months went by. We have a weekly phone call to talk and check in and things like that, and we have additional communications during the week. So he decided he wanted to come and visit, and that was great. So he came to visit.
Good.
We quarantined separately for 14 days, like you know, they say that you should do. And then we began to sleep in the same room and have sexual affection and intimacy and things like that.
I have no problem other than penile insertion in your vagina, your mouth, your anus.
Yes.
That's the God moment when you basically can make babies. You can make human beings.
Exactly. So
where the chemistry is started up.
Mm-hmm. And
oxytocin.
Yes, oxytocin. And so he asked for intercourse, and I asked, well, since we had last been together and I made this change to the way I was operating, he had intercourse with someone else. So I said, well, you know, have you had your STDs checked since you've had intercourse with someone else? And he said, no. And I said, well, you know, that's an issue. And then I said, also, I need to be in a committed monogamous relationship with continuity, longevity, et cetera. I told him the situation, and he couldn't commit to that. He's still here.
Of course he couldn't, because he'd been used to free wives and free girlfriends and free sex, mostly.
Yes.
Which is okay, except friends with perks is not... Men play with vaginas, but they marry virtue.
Yes, I've heard you say that before. So 6 more weeks have gone by and he's still here. We're having a really wonderful time together. And it is really nice. And there's, like you said, there's lots of other things to do. We have wonderful sexual affection. So in our weekly talk, I said, well, I'm kind of surprised that you haven't tried to negotiate with me and like bridge our gap on anything in this area. And he said he respects my boundary. And then furthermore, he said, well, this is a little bit familiar to me because he cared for his sick wife for many years who was dying of cancer. That was like 10 years ago. And then his daughter was 14. He raised her. She's like 24 now. And then, you know, since then or in parts of that, he's been dating and things like that. But some interesting things happened that he told me. He stopped being on any of the dating applications, like cut the profiles, stopped doing all of that. So I thought, oh, well, it's interesting that you didn't mention that, but thanks for sharing that because I don't use any of those things, but I feel like it's a big deal when people stop using those. And so basically I explained my boundaries to him. I said, well, it's like I'm a house for sale. And I set my list price, and I'm sort of surprised that you haven't even put in an offer, because then I could counter, and we would be negotiating. So what I wanted to know, Dr. Allen, is, was that mothering or an incorrect thing for me to have said? He hasn't been responsive to it. I don't intend to mention it again, but I felt like I wanted to share that I was surprised that he's stayed here for 6 weeks. So he's obviously enjoying and saying that he really likes what we have, but he just doesn't know if he can stop wanting to be wild or potentially do, you know, have a harem or want to have a harem and things like that.
Yes.
So I was hoping to get some guidance about what I said, if that was inappropriate, and just your take on the situation.
Repeat what you said.
Well, I said to him, I'm surprised that you haven't tried to negotiate anything, because to me saying that I need these three things, continuity, monogamy, longevity, like we could have communicated and negotiated, like, let's do monogamy, let's try 6 months and then we can renegotiate or reevaluate or whatever. Like, he didn't come back to me with anything.
But he said he loved his wife while she was dying, and he's accustomed to not being sexually gratified. So we in therapy call that the Madonna whore syndrome, which means there are women you have sex with and there are women that you have affection with.
Mm.
So you've set up friends.
with sexual affection, apparently, because we are having sexual affection.
Sexual, but
we're just not having intercourse.
Is it oral? That's sexual affection. That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Does that please you? Women often like sexual affection better than they like intercourse. Men like intercourse.
Yeah. I want to be having intercourse with the person that I'm devoting this kind of time and attention and effort to. So I am thinking about, well, at some point he's going to go back home, probably in the next couple of weeks, and then we're sort of just going to be seeing. Maybe he's going to be ruminating about something. I'm not really sure. So I just wanted your take and your insights, which you're giving me.
He's moving away from you.
Okay.
Therefore, it would not behoove you to fall more in love with him when he's going to move away. So what you're doing now is probably the best
mm-hmm.
for someone that's moving away.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do you see what I mean? Because your body
likes affection.
So I think you're not compatible anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be living apart.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Yes. And was there anything wrong with me making that analogy or inquiring as to, I didn't really say
did
why didn't you try to put it off?
Did you say I have something to say and is it convenient?
Yes. It was during a time that we have set that I'm able to do that freely. Yes.
Okay. So I hear that you shared, and he said, I'm comfortable with affection, and if I want sex intercourse, I'll get it from someone else.
Got it. Okay. Yes.
Right.
I appreciate your insight very much, Dr. Allen. Thank
Good.
You so much.
I
Thank you, Kelly.
You're learning.
And I really liked hearing that you've upped it to 100. I laughed when the caller said, great, I have 14 more years to call. I thought, that's wonderful. That's what I was thinking
okay.
too. Okay.
That's
have a
funny.
Great evening. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
caller. I hope you have seen us. Good luck with that.
Bye.
Right.
Okay.
Well, we have got some interesting callers tonight. I love it.
Yes.
See what's going on with our switchboard here and see what our wonderful Ronan at LA Talk Radio. We have the best guy who does our show. He's awesome. And I want to remind everybody, Dr. Allen does phone appointments. And she mentioned earlier, and I'll mention again, as little as 15 minutes, as long as you need.
Call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
You can book that going to info@drpatallen.com via email. Reach out to the wonderful Sue Wagner, and she will get you all set up for that. Tonight, I'm impressed with a couple of people that would probably really love Dr. Allen's Life Script class, especially the couple, the lady with the gentleman that... would also probably benefit from Dr. Allen's couples therapy. So we love that. We're hoping we're going to get one of our couples on the radio, which would be fabulous. Dr. Allen.
That's true.
I know you've been talking to them. So right now I want to remind everybody of the call-in number 323-203-0815. So we do have one of our Facebook followers who's reaching out to us, sending me an instant private message. And oh, it's a gentleman. He says, 14 years married. And with the COVID lockdown, I find I'm more attracted to my wife. I feel, though, that she's becoming less attracted to me.
Yes.
Is it because I'm clingy? Is it because we're together too much? What's happening, Dr. Allen? I'm crazy for her, and she seems like she's a little bit disinterested in me.
You know, what's happening is that he's going on estrogen, which produces the bonding. Young women and older men fit together better than young men and older women.
Oh.
Because when a woman is older, she goes on male hormones. So she likes younger men.
Ah.
Do you see? So for this gentleman, hopefully they can go, they can have their date night. If they want to be sexual, it would be good for them to go to a mixed family child therapist, wherever they are, and see if there's somebody. Well, why not just call me?
They could just call you. That would be the best thing. Or they could reach out to info@drmattallen.com and set up a couple session. That would be amazing. And they could also call the radio if they want to.
Because, and one of the techniques that they do is for example, women that are not turning on, they will give her a masculine hormone patch that will help her respond. You know, there's gynecologists, there's internists, there are techniques, but as women get older, they get more masculine and they tend to fit younger men better than older men. And younger men do very well with older women because older women are usually self-sufficient and can pay their bills. So the younger man can be for a while until he wants his kids. For a while, they fit together. So nature's built men basically to be young and studly, and they built older women to be sexy for the young men that they're training to marry younger women and produce babies and carry on. It's all chemical. So anyway.
Okay. So we have a gal who wants you to help her identify the difference between Peter Pan, a real man, and she says she doesn't remember the other type. Okay. So I think she'd like you to talk about the
sugar daddy.
Sugar daddy, there you go. She's wanting to know how to identify.
What?
Yeah, the characteristics.
I will give the characteristics. A real man, in the first 50 years of his life, is basically masculine. He likes to compete, conquer, and control. But when he gets to be in his 50s, his testosterone goes down, and the estrogen in his system mellows him out so that grandpa's nicer than dad and grandma is meaner than mom. So
a real man. Oh, you know what, Carolyn? We've got a caller on. Let's come back to our characteristics after. Caller, you're live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yeah, my question is, my partner and I have an appointment scheduled with you tomorrow, Dr. Pat. I've been working with you. I've experienced him as passive aggressive, and I go to the, when I get really upset, I go sleep in a different bed, and he doesn't like that. And he thinks that's
using my tools and negotiate?
And I mess up quite a bit.
If you mess up and you're not disciplined, you have to be disciplined or it affects him and it ruins the relationship. What can I do to have you respect my work?
Remember it. If I had a better memory in the heat of the moment, I could do it
then
better.
I want you to make little cards, those little cards that you can buy. And put the five tools on the cards.
Okay. Yeah. I guess if I practice them every single day, even just writing them down, it would become
I want you to know you will rewire your Broca. It can take years to really become natural at it. But in the meantime, when you're not respecting him, he can't cherish you. Women have to respect the men they're with, unless the women are men and the men are women. I have no problem with feminine men or masculine women. They find each other very nicely. But if you want to be cherished, you have to respect him. And those are my tools.
I'm doing my best.
Are we going to be working tomorrow night?
Tomorrow in the morning, we have an appointment with you.
Oh, you have it in the morning. Fine.
So,
all I can say, if you don't mind losing him, don't do my work. If you mind losing him, then would you please respect him by using the tools?
Okay. And the fourth time... twice he's asked me to leave and pack my things and leave, and twice I've gotten upset and packed my things and left.
Yes.
And
you don't mind him saying that? You don't mind being thrown out?
I hate that. I don't like it at all.
Well, he doesn't like you when you're a man.
Yeah. But so his solution, what he just came up with, because we had a talk on the phone, which he'll probably bring up tomorrow in our appointment.
Okay, what did he come up with?
Is that I stay somewhere else for one day of the week. I stay at somebody else's house. That way he thinks that'll diffuse any tension between us. And then I never again will go sleep on the in a different bed in the same places him.
Okay, so he wants you, that's getting ready for the divorce.
That's how it feels.
No, that's how it is.
So, what do you think in that situation? Should I accept it and just say yes, okay, once a week I'll go spend the night somewhere else?
You'll spend the night out of the house?
Yeah, that's what he suggested as a solution.
But his solution is the beginning of a divorce.
Yeah.
We better talk about it tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what we have an appointment for.
But I do want you to understand that you can put those tools on cards and have them in your purse next to your arm until... they're wired into your Broca.
Okay. The problem is I sometimes do your tools with a bad attitude, though. So it kind of
ruins. If you do it with a bad attitude, you'll enjoy your next husband. If you don't mind losing your husband, what can I say?
Yeah, but I get so frustrated because I experience him as passive aggressive, like unwilling to negotiate, but wanting
Wait a
to
minute.
Fight.
I got news for you. Your job is to do it his way, unless you have to call the cops, a doctor, and a lawyer.
Okay,
is that right?
So if he makes a plan with his friends and goes out with them and I don't like it, I just keep my mouth shut and
no,
accept it?
I want to teach him to say, I want to go out with my friends. How do you feel about it? And if you say, I don't feel good, he says, what can I do to help you and I feel better? Then you ask for, I want another night. In other words, ask for something that makes up for the loss of that time.
I love that. Okay. That would be fine with me. I'd feel good about that.
Let's see what he says tomorrow.
Okay. All right. I look forward to talking to you then.
Good, 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 good.
Thank you, Dr. Pat.
You're welcome.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Here's the phone number for Bonnie, 310-883-5061.
And that's for your Saturday Zoom class, right?
Yeah, 9 to 10. Women.
9 to 10?
Only six women.
Right. Six women.
But you can work if you claim a slot, or you can observe, you can listen all over the world.
Oh wow, that's excellent. That's excellent.
Yeah.
Oh wow,
anyway,
so cool.
I've done my job. That's the one. So there.
All right, so we went through the real man.
What?
Well, right now, we went through the real man. I just want to get to the Peter Pan characteristics.
Let's do that. The real man is a blend of masculine and feminine. And when he gets to be 50, something nourishing.
Mm-hmm.
And he likes the woman that wants to feel good, to do good. And respects her man so that he can cherish her. That's that. That's a healthy couple.
All right.
The next one is a woman whose dad wanted her to be a man, like her brothers. And so she teaches and preaches and bitches and moans, doesn't make appointments, doesn't use the tools. Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
The man she's got to be with has to be Peter Pan. He's got to be predominantly feminine because she's predominantly masculine. And that's
okay.
What I was talking to just a couple minutes ago.
Yes.
Then we have Sugar Daddy and the Gold Digger Claw Woman.
Uh-huh.
He wants a beautiful woman to have sex with. And he's got money to pay her for it, but he may not want to marry. He may just want to use.
Uh-huh.
And when she gets older, she's put out to the pastures because he wants a younger woman for sex. So Sugar Daddy goes with the Gold Digger, okay?
Right.
And we've done there's the nun.
Oh, yeah, we have to do the nun.
And the monk. There are
right.
people that are not interested in being sexual. Do you see?
Uh-huh.
They like living together, they may even like going and getting pregnant with the doctor, but they're not interested.
Uh-huh.
They may be latent gay. They just don't want it. So the nun goes with the monk. Peter Pan goes with Wendy. Sugar Daddy goes with the gold digger. And the gentleman goes with the lady.
Now tell me about Wendy. I don't think we went through Wendy.
Wendy is masculine, and she is either giving or mothering. She's the boss at home.
Right, and she's going to sew Peter Pan's shadow back on. She's going to fix Peter.
Yes, she's going to. That's exactly what she's going to do. She's going to run the show.
Gotcha. So he's prepared for that. He embraces that.
He was probably raised by a father that was a Peter Pan and a mother that was Wendy. Mother impacts son. Father impacts daughter. The book on that is Wounded Woman by Linda Leonard. That's a woman that's been raised to be a boy, mama, not a girl. And for boys, Puer Eternus by Maria von Franz is about the wounds that a mother can lean on her son that may castrate him being able to be a man. Now, I already talked about the passive-aggressive man, one that makes promises but doesn't keep them. The book about that is Living With Him by Scott Wetzler. You see?
I do. So I love that. So we have time for one more quick question. And here's the question. 9-year-old son, single mother. The 9-year-old son is starting to disobey the grandmother, but is responsive to the uncle and the grandfather.
Yes.
What's going on there, Dr. Pat?
What's going on there is a boy needs to learn how to cherish women by the age of 10. Otherwise, he's probably going to be either violent or disrespectful or uncherishing. So the mother and the grandma have to set price tags, like taking away the cell phone or whatever he likes gets put on the shelf until he cherishes these women.
Oh, I see. So
that Daniel Siegel has a book about raising younger kids, parenting from the inside out, which means
a boy's
soul is feminine, the anima.
Right.
And he's got to be taught to cherish women.
Right.
A girl's soul is masculine. So girls are generally pretty mature by the age of 8 if father was a loving father. Girls need to be cherished by their father. And boys need to be respected by the age of 10 by their mother. And here is the killer. Dan Siegel, a year or so ago, wrote a book, Brainstorms, about a scientific fact that nature does not give 12 to 18-year-old teenagers enough dopamine to make them happy. And that's why they do their motorcycles and their drugs and their parties and their whatever. So Ben Siegel's book, Parenting from the Inside Out for Younger Kids, and Brainstorms for Teenagers. Then when they get to be 18 to 24, they go back to being nice again.
Right.
All science.
All science, every bit of it. We are out of time. What a great thing to close the show on. I am going to make sure that the mother has the title of that book. And until then, until next time we're together, we love you. Be safe. Be healthy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.